This testimony greatly annoyed the religious leaders. This confession the apostles gave with great power and grace that came upon them. This witness caused people to mock Paul. This truth is what Paul sought to attain by any means possible. Through this, we have been caused to be born again. This future event is what we are destined for. It is blessed and holy. For all who believe this message, it will be counted them as righteousness, just like it was to Abraham. To all who confess this truth and believe in their heart, they will walk in newness of life. And this testimony, this confession, this message, this witness, this truth is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This message of the resurrection is one of the matters of first importance in making known the testimony of God in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. There is hardly a writer in the New Testament that doesn't make some reference to the resurrection life of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John choose, by direction of the Holy Spirit, to give accounts of varied aspects of Jesus' life and ministry. One writer will tell this story, the other writer doesn't choose to emphasize that story, but emphasizes another story of Jesus. But all of them are moving, they are going towards this conclusion, this climax of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to look at John's, as was read. Because John, one of Jesus' disciples, the beloved disciple, wrote an account of this. And the reason that he writes his account, he makes explicit in John 20, verse 31, where he says, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Earlier in that chapter, Jesus was betrayed. He was accused, he was condemned, he was crucified and killed by his own people at the hands of the Romans. And he was buried in a tomb. And as we saw in our reader's theater, Mary discovered this tomb empty and had gone to tell the other disciples who came to investigate and find it just as she said, that it is empty. And after seeing it, return home. But Mary stayed behind and Jesus speaks with her and tells her to go to the disciples again and tell them about the ascending of Jesus to the Father. And that's Sunday morning. What we're going to focus on together is Sunday evening. Jesus' resurrection appearance to his disciples as a group, except for Thomas. Jesus' resurrection has absolutely huge implications for his disciples, life-altering. As his resurrection has huge life-altering implications for us. The resurrection is crucial to this message of the gospel, such that if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And if that wasn't enough, if in Christ we have hope for this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. There's a lot hanging on the resurrection, isn't there? There's no Christian faith without it. But thanks be to God that there is resurrection from the dead, that Jesus is the first fruits, the guarantee of this reality of the resurrection. And as we look to his appearance to the disciples on Sunday evening, we'll see how there's just a few in these five verses, implications of his resurrection. There's so many more. But we'll focus on these for now. In just five verses, there's four things that Jesus brings about as a result of him being raised from the dead. Had he not been raised from the dead, these things would not be so. Peace, gladness, mission, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. What is the resurrection peace that Jesus brings? Verse 19 of John 20, it says, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" You know, Jesus had just been crucified and buried at the hands of the Jewish leaders and the Romans, and this probably struck fear into the life of the disciples, the ones who followed him in his earthly ministry. And that was the purpose of the cross. That's what the cross was designed by Rome to do. The cross is a form of corporal punishment to make an example out of people outside the city in the most visible place along the road. And it sends the message, don't cross the emperor, don't cross the empire, don't cross Rome, or this is what will happen to you. That was what the cross was designed to do. And apparently in this case, as these disciples are gathered together, that mission accomplished, because they're afraid. They're gathered together in a locked room. So the disciples are huddled together in this room. If that's the way that they treated Jesus, what do you think they're going to do with us? Humanly speaking, they're very justified to be afraid for their lives right now. I think we all would be in that scenario. And had Jesus not been raised from the dead, they probably would have stayed that way their whole lives, living in fear. What's going to happen to us? But of course, Jesus has been raised from the dead. And something like a locked door isn't going to keep him from his disciples. And so into that setting of fear and that setting of confusion among the disciples, Jesus brings a blessing of peace. This message of peace is one that Jesus has told them about before when he was with them beforehand. The promises that he made in John 14, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And Jesus had made these promises and given these commands to his disciples already. Why were they not able to obey them in that locked upper room? Why weren't they just, remember what Jesus said? He said, do not let our hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Do you remember that? But they can't. Are they stubbornly disobedient? No. It's because Jesus' promises must be accompanied by Jesus' presence in his resurrection. In this case, it's his physical resurrected presence. But soon, it's going to be for the disciples, as it is for us, the presence of God in the Holy Spirit. Because before this, Jesus also said to his disciples, it's better that I go away. For if I do not return to the Father, the Spirit will not come. And the Spirit is my presence. And my Spirit will remind you of all the things that I have said. My Spirit will empower you to walk in obedience to these promises. He's the guarantee of this blessed hope of the resurrection. And because of this, there's also resurrection gladness. In verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. In the light of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the disciples' fear turns to gladness. Jesus is really, really here. We aren't seeing a ghost or an apparition, as we heard earlier in the testimony of John. We aren't having a shared delusion. It really is Jesus. Now notice that the disciples' gladness doesn't come because their circumstances outside of the locked room have changed. There's still people out there for them to be afraid of. That hasn't changed at all. But what has changed is Jesus' presence, that Jesus is there with them. Does Jesus' resurrection have practical effect on his disciples today? There are many things beyond the walls of this building that can make you afraid. And if you are desiring to follow Jesus deeper and deeper, they will make you more and more afraid. People might disagree with you because of Jesus. People might be angry with you because of the word of Christ. People might seek your harm because of the message of repentance. Not everyone, of course, because we live in a very polite society like Canada, but nonetheless. Are you holed up in a locked room because of fear? Know that it is not a change in your circumstances that will bring peace or that will bring about gladness. Jesus has said, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. How are we not afraid, but glad? It's the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his presence with us, that he has triumphantly conquered sin and death. And through the eyes of faith, we see Jesus' resurrected hands and his side, and we too are glad because we know that whatever may come to pass in this life, that we are being renewed day by day by the resurrected presence in the life of Christ. And now with blessing of resurrection peace and of resurrection gladness, Jesus sends his disciples on a resurrected mission. In verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." These disciples who are locked up in this room for fear of those outside of the room, the resurrected Jesus is going to come and say, "Peace be with you. Now go out of this room." The circumstances out there haven't changed, but I'm sending you out there with my presence. Bear witness to the testimony of what has just happened here in Jerusalem, to the death, the burial, the resurrection from the dead, even in spite of those people who would do you harm. The living Jesus sends them, and the living Jesus sends us. And as they are sent, they are dragged before the very people that they feared. And they powerfully testified to them too of the resurrection of Jesus in Acts 4. So they called them, the religious leaders called the disciples and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." Without the resurrected Jesus, there is no resurrected mission. And the resurrection mission is simple. Speak of what you've seen. Speak of what you've heard. The resurrection presence of Jesus and the giving of the Holy Spirit does not empower the disciples to stay in a locked room. The Holy Spirit doesn't empower them to make stronger locks to keep what they're afraid of outside. It's not what the Holy Spirit is sent to do. It's not what he's sent to do for them. It's not what he's sent to do for us. But he's sent to empower for a resurrection mission, to proclaim the good news. Forgiveness of sin, eternal life are in Christ Jesus, who died and rose again by faith to any who will believe. I know for myself, I've heard many testimonies throughout the years of the life change that has come as a result of faith in that message, the peace, the joy, the assurance. No, the things that I was afraid of, they're still there. They haven't changed. But I had the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. We often pray for open doors for this message, but I think of Jesus, whom we serve, the resurrected Jesus, who apparently paid no regard to locked doors. If you believe the message of Christ, you're sent by the resurrected Jesus to speak of what you've seen and what you've heard. And he's given us blessed assurance of his presence, that surely he is with us even to the end of the age. Because he has been raised, he goes with us. We have this empowering of the Spirit. Verse 22 and 23. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Jesus' disciples, past, present, future, we are not sent alone. But because he is raised from the dead, he lives to send the Spirit, God dwelling inside of us. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Without the resurrection, there is no sending of the Spirit. And without the sending of the Holy Spirit, this train isn't moving down the tracks. We can do a lot of things to try and move it down the tracks ourselves. We can have structures, we can have strategies, we can rehearse all the right words to say. But without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we are sent on a resurrection mission with no resurrection power. And this resurrection power of the Holy Spirit is linked to the forgiveness or unforgiveness of sins. And this passage, when I first read it, just kind of struck me as unusual. Does this mean that we stand in the place of God and to forgive or not forgive? No, that's not what this means. As though they were sinning against us. It means that the Holy Spirit within us will remind us of the words of Jesus, and the Spirit of God will testify to what is true. And we will have the discernment of the Spirit, and through him to know the mind of God. To know as we go about that resurrection mission whether people are truly repentant and seeking forgiveness, or whether an Oscar-worthy performance is being put on. That's what it means for us to have the Holy Spirit as we are about his mission. So as we look at Jesus' resurrection appearance to his disciples on Sunday evening, we see just a few of the many implications of Jesus' resurrection for his disciples then and for today. These are for us. We've seen these four things that Jesus brought about as a result of him being raised from the dead. And had he not been raised from the dead, these things would not be ours. We would have no resurrection peace, no resurrection gladness, no resurrection mission or empowering of the Holy Spirit. But Christ has been raised, and he has brought the message of peace into fear. And through the revelation of his resurrection, he turns fear into gladness. And in the assurance of his presence, he sends us into the very world that once made us so afraid, and also assures us that his Spirit goes with us in order to fulfill that mission in truth and not in pretense. And all of this God does for his glory, that his great power would be on display through us vessels made of fragile clay, that this is by the grace of God to any and all who will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sin, that he died for mine, that he's been raised, and through him alone we have eternal life. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. This testimony greatly annoyed religious leaders. This confession the apostles gave with great power and great grace upon them. This witness caused people to mock Paul. This truth is what Paul sought to attain by any means possible. Through this, we have been caused to be born again. This future event is what we are destined for, and it is blessed and holy. For all who believe this message, it will be counted to them as righteousness, just like it was to Abraham. To all who confess this truth and believe in their heart, they will walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that by your Spirit, you have raised Christ to new life, and that in his resurrection is our hope, that we too will be raised, that we will have resurrection life. And we thank you that we experience that resurrected life, not just in the future, but that we experience today in the presence of your Spirit that dwells within us. Lord, that we abide in Jesus today by your Spirit. And that dead things in our life are being rooted out, that these things are being overthrown. Lord, that day by day we are being renewed, shaped into the image of Jesus. Lord, let us put the deeds of sin and death to death. And in the resurrection of Jesus, cling to that new life that is ours in Him. It's already ours for your glory. Father, we thank you for the resurrected life. In Jesus' name, amen.